The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And that's why sometimes it's hard to work at night, Shasky, because you get a game like that, that has a playoff feel to it. It wasn't just any other game in November, Klay Thompson. He certainly showed that it wasn't just some game in November. Stephen Curry showed that it just wasn't a game in early November. And Draymond Green certainly showed that it wasn't just a game in November. This had all of it, everything, big shots, drama. And this could be a preview of things to come in the Western Conference. But damn it, this Warriors team has heart. They get the win yesterday, 120-117. They're now 9-2. They spoiled the return of Klay Thompson. Maybe something special is brewing out here on the West Coast with the Golden State Warriors. I don't know what it is, but I like what I'm seeing so far, Shasky. Good morning to you.
Say 9 special brew? Let's go. I like it. 9-2, Matt.
No, you got to go. You got to go top shelf, man. Come on.
Well, you said special brew. Something's brewing. I'm saying St. Ives special brew. It's an OG.
Maybe some Christmas special coffee from Starbucks. I don't know.
I did get a pumpkin, whatever it is, pumpkin spice latte. I did have one of those the other day. Not bad.
That's your first time? Really?
When November comes around, I definitely partake. I feel hungover, even though I haven't had a drink in months. That game, as it went on longer and longer, I wanted it really bad. But, oh, my God, the players wanted it so bad. And I kind of want to start here. That reaction from Steph Curry at the end of that game, I feel like a picture tells 1,000 words. Yep. And in this case, a video tells, what, a gazillion? Like, seeing him hit the three, run over, celebrate with Buddy, Buddy and him going crazy, him turn to the crowd, pull the Golden State jersey part out on the new black jerseys. And he's pointing to it. And I know there's 1,000 lip readers. I don't know what he said. All I'm going to say is the image of him screaming the way that he did, that felt deep to me. Now, I don't know if it was personal toward any individual or just the moment. It felt like Steph Curry rising to the occasion, stealing the show, to your point, and reminding everyone, not only is this the house that Steph built, he's still one of the baddest dudes to walk the earth and one of the greatest basketball players of all time. That felt so deep.
Well, last night he became one of three players over the age of 36. To drop consecutive games in which he scored 35 or more points. The other two guys on the list, alongside Stephen Curry, LeBron James, Michael Jeffrey Jordan. Those only three guys in NBA history who scored had back-to-back games in which they scored 36-plus at the age of 36 and older. Stephen Curry, LeBron James, Michael Jeffrey Jordan. And it is the house that Steph built. It's the organization that Steph built. And he's reminding everybody, you know what? I'm not going anywhere. I'm coming up off this Olympic gold medal, and I'm carrying that momentum. And right away, you can see Stephen Curry, his movement right now is next level. He's cutting at a just high level. His speed looks like it's back. It's explosion. And it was personal. It was personal when you saw the first possession where Klay Thompson, and we discussed the matchups yesterday. And as we went gone through the matchups, the light bulb popped in my head and said, oh, snap. Steph will be guarding Klay Thompson when you think about the matchups and how the Warriors play defense and how they set things up. And then you flip on the other side and say, wow, Klay's not really guarding guards anymore. He's probably going to be guarding Draymond Green. and you got that right away, and you got a lot of trash talk right away, and you could feel the intensity right before tip-off. This is more than just a game in November, folks. This was personal.
How many
and
games?
That scream was personal. It was a message saying, hey, you chose up to go to Dallas, Texas. You left us. You're our brother now. But between these white lines, we want to destroy you because we want to get 5 rings before you do. Right? This is deep. This is very deep, Shasky. Whoa!
I want to make sure that we get into this. You have been going to that arena since its inception. I would say outside of one of the players or one of the people that actually works in game day activities, whatever that is, security, yeah, vending, etc. Nobody's been to that stadium more than you. What was it like?
It was unreal.
Because through my television, and I'll let you finish, it felt like a raucous party that turned into a playoff game.
It was already a playoff game, and it was a party. So I get there to Chase Center, and I get there fairly early, and I'm trying to get to the gatehouse at Thrive City to drop my stuff off. And Thrive City was as packed, if not more packed, than when they hosted the NBA Finals against the Boston Celtics.
No way.
The line was going to the street, dog, to get in for Klay Thompson to see him warm up. Thrive City, I couldn't get through the gatehouse. It was shoulder to shoulder, back to the... People couldn't wait to get in. So I'm thinking, whoa, this is different.
Uh-huh.
This is different. So Klay Thompson walks into the arena, 400 Warrior employees.
That was
had
so
their
classy.
Captain Class, a Raymond Ritter special.
That was so classy.
You know? And so the warm-up
so
starts.
Classy.
So you get into the gym. You get into Chase Center. And you could feel the electricity inside the building as they're warming up. Now, I had to go inside. I had to go to the gatehouse as Steph Curry and Klay Thompson shared the court during warm-ups. But from what I heard and what I received from Kareth Burke and Festus,
yeah,
Klay wasn't trying to say what's up to Steph before the game. Steph was maybe waiting on him to say what's up. That never happened. Klay was locked in. And so then you get to tip-off, or you get to the pregame warm-ups, and the tribute video was special.
Yeah.
Everybody waving their Klay hats. I'd never seen anything like it. The Captain Klay hats, you see them all moving all around the arena. It was a great touch by the Golden State Warriors. And then the game starts, and you get the first possession going out of Klay Thompson in the post with Draymond Green on the weak side coming over for the double, and Steph Curry fouls him, but he's like, I'm not letting him score. It's not happening today. And then Draymond Green, because he can't get lost into this equation.
I thought he was amazing.
Yeah, Steph and Klay, there's going to be a lot about those two guys. As my boy Justin Dunaway out there in Fillmore, California says, they're not the Splash Brothers anymore. They're the Clash Brothers because they're going to be clashing for the foreseeable future. Look, Draymond Green hit a shot, a three. Hits one in front of Klay Thompson. Hits another jumper. He's talking to Klay. Hey, I'm out here. I'm here. He's looking at Steph saying, yeah, boy, yeah, boy. Remember, Steph got the strip on the second possession. And Draymond's talking to Klay, and he's dapping up Steph. And then as the Warriors go on a little mini run in the first quarter, Jason Kidd runs on the court, calls timeout. And Draymond's looking at Jason Kidd talking that talk. And I said, oh, yeah, this is different. I got Game 7 intensity, Draymond Green. I got Steph Curry with veins popping out of his neck. And I got Klay Thompson wanting to spoil the party for the Golden State Warriors and steal the show at Chase Center. Last night was one of them ones. It was a special, special regular season game. And this team, and I told you this about this fan base, they will start to get behind a team like this.
No doubt.
When they're diving, and they're scrapping, and they're doubling, and they're going for layups, and they're trying to dunk on you, and they're bombing threes, and they're not turning the ball over, Chase Center's going to start to love this team. And Chase Center was as loud, if not louder, than any game I've been to in a very long time at that building. It was wild.
We'll explore, you know, Wiggins on Luka, Kyrie being guarded by Melton. Kyrie's amazing. All the different elements of this team. Because in the words of Seinfeld, they're real and they're spectacular.
How about
the
Anthony Melton, Tommy? Gosh.
He's been amazing. His timely double team on the Steph strip late in the game was brilliant. But I want to get back into something because this is important. These are guys, how many different, what is it, six finals?
Six finals together.
Okay. So let's think about what you're saying. This was game seven vibes in the second week of November.
Listen.
But these aren't guys that didn't play a lot of playoff games.
No, these are
war daddies, playoff battle dudes that are hardened by a decade of gladiating it out against LeBron James, one of the greatest players of all time, and a plethora of other elite stars. And they're the reason why so many in the Western Conference will never sniff the finals, and we're never going to get a ring. You're telling me you felt the intensity was the same as those playoffs? I'm taking your word on this.
The speed. And 888-957-9570. You can call the show if you want and tell me about your experience.
It felt that way through the television.
That building.
It felt that way.
I mean, it was a who's who there. You could feel the intensity. That was playoff vibes. I've been to a lot of playoff games.
That's why I'm asking.
I've been going to Oracle Arena, Chase Center. It doesn't matter. That had playoff intensity to it. And that's a team in the Dallas Mavericks. They'll get P.J. Washington back. They'll be a deadly force in the playoffs. There's no doubt about it. They have a very nice team.
Gafford and Lively are ridiculous.
They're good. P.J. Washington's going to help. Klay Thompson's going to have open threes. And Kyrie and Luka are going to do their thing. That had playoff intensity. Those teams refused to lose last night. I'm telling you. That had, the Warriors didn't want to lose it. Steph didn't want to lose it. Draymond didn't want to lose that. Klay didn't want to lose it. That had playoff vibes last night, Chasky.
I just, watching Steph do that the way he did, that felt so personal. It just felt so, and I'm not saying that he hates, you know, Klay or anything like that. It felt like there was an attack on the Steph culture that he built over a decade plus. And whether it's outsiders saying it's done and the era's over, or there was something that happened over the last couple of years on his watch, Steph Curry's watch, whatever it is, I don't know what it is. I don't know what he was feeling. I can't speak for him. I'm talking about my interpretation through the television. To me, it felt deep. It felt personal, and it felt like he was out to make a statement.
It was a statement.
And the statement was received.
It was a statement. I'm still here. I still run Golden State. I built this place. I was the first one here. I helped put this thing on the map. Sure, you were my splash brother, but I'm the one. I'm the straw that stirs the drink around here. Stephen Curry. And so it was a reminder to the whole NBA world that I'm still here. But not only that, you know, Klay the night before, and Klay didn't want it to be all about him. That's just who he is. But Steph was going to get on the microphone and say something about Klay as a nice little tribute to him before the game. Klay texted Steph the night before and scrapped the plan. Said, no, I don't want that. I don't want all that. Klay would have scrapped the plan about the 400 employees saying what's up to him. Klay didn't want on a fanfare. He really didn't. Because maybe he felt some type of way about the way he left and the way things went down. And you haven't heard a lot from Klay about the situation. But obviously, there's some sourness there. There's no doubt about it.
Sam Amick wrote an article this morning on The Athletic, and he kept alluding to the contract Draymond Green got and the 4 years that Draymond got and how he wasn't offered the similar amount of years and this and the other. So to your point, that clearly is coming from someone. You know, Sam Amick knows his stuff. He's a reporter for The Athletic, covers the NBA for a long time. You know, he's getting that from somebody. So I do believe what you're saying. There's a lot of credence to that.
And you get Steph hitting the first three over Klay Thompson, pointing at him. The and one at the end of the first half where he's looking at Klay like, where you at, big dog?
They needed that, by the way. That and one before the end of the half was big.
Right. No doubt it was huge. So there is something brewing here. But more importantly, the Warriors come back from this 4-1 road trip, and they win another game against Dallas, and they're down 9-2. And they got the Memphis Grizzlies Friday night. Probably not going to have Ja Morant. There's something happening with this basketball team. Now, I don't know how good they're going to be, but I feel pretty optimistic about them making the top six and a playoff run here. I'm not going to get crazy about deep playoff runs, but with that intensity and with the way Draymond Green is playing and with the way Steph Curry is moving around, and Andrew Wiggins battled his ass off yesterday. I know the stat line doesn't do it justice. He had to run around to guard Luka. He battled. Kuminga and Buddy Hield being the first two guys off the bench. They're battling. They're scored 30 points. You get 30 points from Kuminga and Buddy Hield last night. Those are huge, huge. That's huge production. I thought the five late in the third quarter for Pods was important. Going into the fourth quarter.
Pods.
So
we have a whole discussion on Pods.
Well, we got all that. And you got the Anthony Melton who hit two threes yesterday. That was a playoff-like game, man. There was something special to it. I can't get down off this high. I couldn't go to sleep last night.
I feel like I'm hungover this morning.
No, I couldn't go to sleep last night.
Bonte, you referenced Andrew Wiggins, and you're going to look like, if you're a box score guy, you're going to look, he had 8 points and, you know, a couple rebounds, and he had some assists and some fouls.
Watch the game. That's what I say. Watch the game.
He was awesome. Because Luka is one of the most difficult guards, maybe in the history of the NBA, because of his girth and his ability to basically bait you into fouls. That's what he is. And his shot making is tremendous. And then there were multiple times he got switched on to Kyrie. Kyrie's one of the greatest players I've ever seen. I don't know where I put him. I'm not saying he's top five. Just in terms of a watch and seeing him, you're like, oh my God, what a pass. My God, what a spin move. My God, what a degree of difficulty jumper in the lane. Kyrie is unreal. And then you mix up those two bigs, Gafford and Lively, with them. Both those guys give me elements of my favorite version of Tyson Chandler, where they're just rugged. They know their role. They've got better hands than you think. They're good. Really good screeners. They're great lob threats.
Well, it was a great trade by the Dallas Mavericks last season. At the NBA trade deadline, the Dallas Mavericks traded for P.J. Washington and Daniel Gafford. And it changed their entire team around. Sick. Great lob threats, good defenders. It was the first game Lively was back. But Draymond Green with the great block shot. The great block shot at the end of the game. Just Draymond Green has just been... Listen, look at the stat line from Draymond Green again. And Steve Kerr said it. We'll play this out. He came out and said it. Draymond had Game 7 Finals intensity. And you know what? Steve Kerr's not lying.
That's incredible.
He's not lying because I'm telling you, in the tunnel, I'm watching Draymond Green. I said, this is different. I looked at Mully, and Mully goes, nah, this is different. And Fezzy Fell's jumping around like, oh my gosh, this is like, it was a show yesterday. They put on a show, and the Warriors are box office, and you know the NBA's happy with the Warriors being 9-2. But Draymond Green's stat line last night, 11 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals. And more importantly to me, he hit the 2 threes. They're now 139-30 when he hits two or more threes in a basketball game. No turnovers for Draymond Green last night.
Under 3 minutes to go, he gets the charging call underneath the basket.
Scott Foster's looking right at it. I don't think that was a charge.
It's funny because you said it to me walking in, and I'm rewatching the last 8 minutes. I love doing that. And his left foot is completely inside the circle and inside the paint. Mm-hmm. But after that, I think they come down, they hit a bucket, they cut the lead to 1. And then Draymond gets the block at the rim. Block at the rim was, he timed it perfectly.
He had no turnovers last night.
And then he stood there, and then he stared him down as he's on the ground. And Dre was amazing.
Dre was unbelievable last night. He's had an unbelievable.
DJD in the third quarter was sick.
He's had an unbelievable start to the season. There's no doubt about that. So the Warriors win 120-117. Do we got a time for a call here? Let's get to a call. Let's go to Nick in San Jose. Oh, I haven't heard from Nick in San Jose.
What's up,
Nick? I don't think I've heard from him all season. Maybe he's feeling optimistic about 50 wins.
They're
like
real.
That unnamed player. Hey, Nick, that unnamed player, media day. Bonte, we win at 50. Do you believe now, Nick?
Dude, we are going to win between 58 and 62 games. And like Pac-Man, we need to gobble up these games because Lively's and Gafford's and Dallas – and in Cleveland, those are tough teams, man. So we need to gobble it up. Look, I'm waking up this morning and going to bed last night with a huge smile because, one, Festus, Mully, and you, Bonte, together are just rock solid. And in the morning, we got of the county, city of San Francisco, you guys representing us, your keen intellect and your passion and knowing the streets, you're our homie. Now, look. I got to give Draymond his flowers. He is so rock solid. That block was amazing. And Curry last night just playing puppeteer with those big guys at the end of the game. We were down 7 points with 4 minutes to go. And Melton hitting that three to get it started. Yeah. Now, look, I really thought having Slo-Mo, Buddy Hield, and having Melton were an additive losing Clay, but seeing Cameroon Clay, Game 6 Clay, 14 threes Clay, okay, I could go on to China Clay and Captain Clay. I miss the guy. But you know what, boys? I think we all love about sports is the competition. And I'm sick and tired of people competing and then signing jersey at the end of the game. They ran at each other yesterday. It was competition. It was beautiful. Laser pointing. Shimmy shaking. It's what it all is about. Last thing, though. Kerr has to foul there at the end of the game. What is he doing there? If he makes that three, I don't get that.
You know what I was thinking, though?
You guys think he should have fouled or let him shoot it?
Nick, the only thing I was thinking is Luka's so damn good, he'll draw the foul and then shoot it up and bank it in. Like, I hear you, but, God.
Yeah, you could foul there. You could not foul there. I thought Steph maybe got away with a foul on Quentin Grimes on a three-point shot. No, could have been a four-point play with his positioning there. So that's two missed calls. And Scott Foster's looking right at Draymond Green's feet on the gaffer charge. But the Mavericks didn't have a challenge because they used it on Luka Doncic, swiping the wrist of Jonathan Kuminga. It was a foul, Luka. You tell Jason Kidd the review it right away. What is he supposed to do? Anyway, what a game last night. We're going to talk about it. Andre in East Palo Alto. If you're at the game, 888-957-9570. What a tribute for Klay Thompson. Chase Center was booming. Thrive City was booming. Chase Center was electric. The players put on the show. It's the Emirates NBA Cup first game. It ain't playing like it was a damn championship on the line. I'm on fire. I haven't even got any sleep. I can't sleep right now because this team is playing so damn well. And I told you, Shasky, this is the type of team that Dub Nation is going to love. The scrapping, the doubling, the shot making. I'm feeling it right now. Man, I can't wait to talk to Dub Nation about this and all the roasters here at 888-957-9570. We got something special brewing. Warriors are 9-2 right now coming off that road trip. Woo! They don't play until Friday against Memphis. We're going to talk all about it here. Plus, Anthony Slater, 8:30. Anthony Slater, 8:30. He'll discuss the intensity of that basketball game. That's all coming up. Brought to you by Safeway.
Thank you, Bonte.
Now back to the morning roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky. Take it away, Bonte.
All right, Steph, I'll try to, man. It's hard to follow up your performance. 37 points, 9 assists, 6 rebounds. Stephen Curry had 23 points in the second half alone. Crunch time, when the Warriors needed a bucket, he scores 12 and goes 4-7 in crunch time. The last 5 minutes of the game, 2-4 from 3. He got to the free throw line twice. What a performance for the chef. He's playing at an MVP level early in the season, and he was kind of filling out the first three games. Well, since he's been back, boom, 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 boom. Steph is cooking. The chef is back. So 5 made threes last night, 37 points again, 9 assists, 6 rebounds, and has a flair for the dramatic. And Shasky, you mentioned a scream at the end of the game. Had a little something extra on it. You dead right, I had a little something extra on it. There was a lot of talk. A lot of talk about culture and, you know, the way things went down with Klay. I don't know if he was ticked off about not being able to speak on Klay's behalf before the game, but Klay scrapped that idea. Klay didn't want any fanfare. And Klay did the shimmy in the second quarter when he hit two straight threes. I'm like, uh-oh. He hit the shimmy. And Steph remembers everything. Hell, he remembers last year when SGA put him on his Instagram page trying to cook the chef. Remember that? Remember that? Well, Steph has something to say about that on Sunday. Steph is the petty king for a reason. And last night, he was as petty as ever. But boy, that scream, that emotion, throwing up the jersey, it was almost like to say, Shasky, not only is this my house that I built this thing, but we are all the way back as Warriors. We are all the way back, and we're going to be a problem in the West this year.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt. I mean, that was as great of a statement as you can make. I mean, to do it on TNT, you know, and on the Klay night, it was incredible. B, I was thinking about this, and this is just a sidebar, because I know there's so many elements. There's like layers upon layers. It's like a 7-layer dip over here, which who doesn't love a 7-layer dip? But Bonte, in an era where everyone's set hopping and jumping on 1,000 teams, and you tell me yesterday, Kevin Durant believes he won't get a statue anywhere because he's not beloved like that. What has made the Warriors is their what I call compete level, their I give a darn level, right? And so to see them do this in the second week of November,
yep,
against a former teammate and play as hard as they did, this is why the Warriors resonate on television with the yep country. This right here, to see Draymond, who's a great villain, to see Steph Curry, who's one of the greatest superstars the game has ever seen. If I'm David Stern, I'm watching from afar. Adam Silver, excuse me. This wasn't some lovey-dovey, you know, let's hug each other. Yep. Oh, I'm glad you're back. We're going to kind of cakewalk through it. Let me groove you a couple, let you hit some threes. Mm-hmm. These guys were out for each other's hearts.
No, they were out for blood.
And that's why I believe that this Warrior team resonates so well with the national audience in terms of, like, their viewership. Because we've talked about, right, why does Steph Curry rate?
Right.
It's because they care. And seeing him hit that shot and celebrate the way he did, you would think it's April. You would think it's May. You would think it's June. And I just, I'm telling you, what we're watching, Warrior fans, is one of the greatest players. Forget a generation. I'm talking lifetime. If you're lucky to live 60, 70, 80 years, what you're watching from Steph Curry is truly unique. And I don't throw that around flippantly. He is one of one. And I marvel with him every single time. And it's like, pinch me again, because those moments, God, how many of them has he given us?
He looked so quick yesterday. He was finishing around the rim. He was moving around so well. Brendan Payne and the work that he does with Steph Curry's personal trainer for Accelerate Basketball, of course, the founder and CEO of Accelerate Basketball. We've had Brendan on the show many times, Shasky. We talked to Brendan a lot. The work he's done with Steph Curry and his old team to get his body right, to have him moving this way at the age of 36, to cutting, the backdoor cuts, moving off the basketball, the relocations, the ball handling, everything, the whole nine, man. This guy's playing at a level that we've never seen before here in the Bay Area on the basketball court. Maybe outside of Rick Barry, maybe Will Chamberlain, bully here because he's a Hall of Famer as well, but Steph Curry is one of one. He's just different. And again, last night, he becomes the third player at the age of 36, to have consecutive games in which he scored at least 36 points, and the other two guys on that list is LeBron James and Michael Jeffrey Jordan. Like, it just, what else, what's next for this guy?
Well, I think
what's next?
On the night where he, I mean, let's call it what it is, he upstaged Klay Thompson, right? On the night he did that, he's been doing that his whole career.
His whole career.
It's supposed to be the LeBron era. Well, I mean, you look up and, I mean, he's pretty much upstaged him in terms of renovating the game and changing how it's played.
Not to cut you off, it's not the LeBron era. I always say it's the Steph era. From 2014-15, it was the Steph era. But everybody knows it.
But when LeBron left Miami and went to Cleveland, we all assumed, us included, oh, Cleveland's going to rattle some stuff off here.
Or Chris Paul of the Clippers.
Which is, again, right?
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
He usurped Chris Paul. He usurped Russell Westbrook. He completely dominated all of the Kevin Durant stuff during that same period of time. This is what this man does. He upstages others.
And Draymond Green was along for the ride. So this trio that won 98 playoff games together, I mean, the third best trio in NBA history when it comes to winning. And then the road wins and the series wins and the lack of losses in the Western Conference. This trio did a lot together. A lot. So it was different. It was different. Draymond Green never played. He had never walked into training camp without Klay Thompson. You know what I'm saying? He came the year after Klay, a couple years after, and he's like, I've never been in this locker room without Klay Thompson. This is strange. Now he's guarding me? Now they've seen it in practice, and Draymond Green after the game said he felt no emotions because, you know what? They got between the white lines. It was like, we want to win a cup game. Mm-hmm. We want to send a message to the Mavericks and Luka and Kyrie, and we want to keep this thing rolling. So 9-2 right now for the Golden State Warriors. This start, this is better than anticipated. I think everybody's shocked, coaching staff included.
I'll tell you, they've been spectacular. And your point about Draymond Green, I do think that obviously Curry's the number one thing, but number two is clearly Draymond Green. He has been brilliant this year. One last thing on Curry, because I know we could talk about him till we're blue in the face. But B, part of what I appreciate about him, similar to Kobe Bryant, when you look around, do you maximize your God-given ability? Check. Do you compete, no matter what the circumstances are, with all of the individuals around you and elevate others? Check. Like, there is going to be, we're going to look back, he's going to have a Kobe Bryant-like, and when I mean Kobe, I mean the Mamba mentality. Like, and he is a killer.
He is a killer.
He's a killer.
Don't get it twisted. He is a killer.
And I think that when I look back at what's the biggest misnomer about Steph Curry, it's the fact that people underrate his compete level and his killer mode.
Well, I don't think anybody underrates that. that anymore, and I know for damn sure ain't nobody walking around town saying he's not clutch.
Come on.
What did you see what happened last night? You want to talk about clutch? Down 112 to 105. And Nick in San Jose was right. The top of the key three by DeAnthony Melton was a huge shot. A huge shot to get back into the game. Now they go up 114-108 because Kyrie goes to the lane, drops a nice little dive to Gafford, and as you know, they're down six. But that three by Melton turned it into a two-possession game, and it was enough time for Chef to take over. So when you talk about crunch time, 12 points. He went on a personal 10-0 run himself, Stephen Curry. So I don't want to hear anything about, like, we don't hear that stuff anymore about him not being clutch. So,
no, it's, you know, absurd.
But it was a narrative for a second.
For a long time.
It was a narrative
time.
For a long time, which I never understood.
I mean, going into Boston just 3 years ago, remember they said, like, I mean, can he do it by himself?
Yep.
They literally were asking that question. I did feel a little bit of empathy for Clay. He hits the big three. I would 5-6 minutes
right,
to go.
No empathy.
What?
He did his thing.
No, Clay, I know, but I thought he wanted that last one.
Oh, they all did.
He wanted that last one.
No doubt.
He wanted that last one so bad.
Clay was cooking, man. He had a season high, 6 made threes, 22 points. Dallas would be a factor. Don't be fooled by the 5-6 record. They lost to Phoenix 114-113, Denver 122-120, and they haven't been healthy yet. So the Warriors are catching breaks. I will admit that. They're catching some breaks, not playing some teams at full strength. However, in the NBA, we talk about this with the 49ers, with the Giants. It ain't our problem. You got to take advantage of the breaks and just win the game. Control what you control, which is the way you're playing. Right now, the Warriors are playing some great basketball. Andre, EPA, we're getting to you first on the other side. Jason and Cochran, I got to get to you. He wants to talk about Steph not addressing the crowd. Chris in San Jose wants to talk about Clay Knight. All that coming up. 888-957-9570. Gerald, I want to hear from Dub Nation. Andre, stay on hold here. We're coming to you on the other side here. That'll be brought to you by Fremont Bank. Celebrating 60 years of full-service baking with no compromises.
Bay Area, this is Jonathan Kuminga. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Take it away, Bonte.
All right, JK, 16 points, 5 rebounds, 6 of 11 off the floor, off the bench for JK, 27 minutes and 33 seconds. He's playing some good basketball as a reserve. He really is. JK deserves some props, man. He's defending his ass off. He's a player. I like where Jonathan Kuminga's at right now, mentally, physically. And look, the first few minutes for him in the first half was a little rough, but he settled in, and he had himself a solid, solid night. That sucker could guard, man. Not a sucker. He ain't no sucker. He ain't no punk, but you get what I'm saying here. This guy can guard. Jonathan Kuminga can guard. He can get to the rim. He gets up. He's a factor, folks. He is a factor. As a segment is sponsored by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. What a win for the Warriors last night, 120 to 117 on Clay Day. The return of Clay Thompson, and it did not disappoint last night, Shasky and Chase Center.
We haven't had a chance to get into it. So the closing lineup, because it's a close game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is, like, there's all this stuff, right? Clay and Steph and Dre. But there's a closing lineup. I loved it. I know I legitimately loved it. So you had Curry, Dre, Wiggins, Kuminga, and Anthony Melton.
Yep. DeAnthony Melton.
DeAnthony, excuse me. I probably think I've mispronounced that 5 different times in the last 2 weeks.
Not surprising.
What did you make of that? Because I loved the way they had basically Melton on Kyrie, and then they had Wiggins. I mean, I know there were switches and stuff. So
Melton on Kyrie, Wiggins on Luka. You got JK who can shadow Klay Thompson.
Yes.
And do not leave Klay. Do not leave
no,
him.
No, I thought you did a good job off ball.
No
not
doubt.
Leaving him.
And then Draymond on Gafford.
Yeah.
Protecting the paint.
That's a tough matchup.
And you're protecting the paint right there. So
And then Grimes was the other
Quentin
guy
Grimes
out there.
Is the other guy yeah. out there as well. So he played 8 minutes and 33 seconds in that fourth quarter, Quentin Grimes. But you see JK with the 7-13 in the fourth quarter, solid defense. I like the closing lineup.
I did too.
And this is what we've been waiting to see, the closing lineup. We've been waiting to see that. So, and then, you know, somebody on the text here, 415, talk about the plus minus with Kevon Looney and some of the guys here. Loon Dog and Trayce Jackson-Davis last night combined for 20 rebounds. 7 on the offensive glass. By far and away, TJD's best game in a long time.
He had some really nice second, third chance opportunities because he's not as big as those other guys, like in terms of height-wise. And I thought that in the third quarter, he was really good as well because they went on a little run there in the third quarter. Was it the mid-third quarter when they started to pull away?
They went on 13-0 run. 16-0 run, I think. 16-0 run, yeah. And the Warriors took a 13-point lead. So they flipped the switch in the third quarter, outscoring the Mavericks by 11, 37-26.
I thought Buddy was every single time I watch him play, I'm like, dude, this guy, he just fits everything we want to do. He took the ball to the rim again, finishing with offhanded layups, and I don't know, man, Buddy's playing really well right now. If you got him and Kuminga coming off the bench, how many teams have a 1-2 punch like that?
Well, that's what I'm saying. 30 points off the bench. You get those two guys, the first two guys. Now, Buddy wasn't as efficient for the three-point line last night. 2 for 8, 14 points. But Buddy's got some game, man. There's no doubt Buddy's playing well in this role, but he wasn't in that finishing lineup. And Buddy Hield in the fourth quarter just played 4 minutes and 47 seconds. So this is on Steve Kerr, filling the game, and filling the flow of the game, and filling what he needed to do. Give Steve Kerr his flowers right now. He's pressing all the right buttons. All the rotations, he's pressing all the right buttons. Let's go to Andre in EPA. Andre, what's happening, buddy?
What's up, Andre?
Hey, man. Hey, good morning. Good morning. You know, I got to start with our best morning roast in the morning, for sure. I think we talked. Thursday before the Cleveland game. We was hyped up. You know, they went to Cleveland. It didn't work out as well. And, you know, we went to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Handle business there. You know, we come home, we handle business. I like the fact that the Warriors are playing like the Warriors. They're aggressive on defense. You know, they're rebounding. They're running around. They're moving on offense. Nobody's standing around. You know what I'm saying? And the new pieces that we have are playing great. I love the way that D'Angelo Melton plays defense on Kyrie. Yeah, Kyrie going to do Kyrie. That's what he is. But if you can contain him and make him miss a couple shots and make him undecided about going to the basket because you're so long, that's good enough. Just like Wiggins. 7 foot wingspan. It's hard to go around and shoot over there. Yeah, Luka is Luka. I understand that. But he ain't going to shoot over a 7 foot wingspan every time. You can see it was in spurts. And that's what we needed. Our defense is what's going to get us to the championship. And that's how we played last night. It felt like we was in Oakland last night. It was crazy. Yeah, it was crazy.
You know, the part about playing like the Warriors, one thing that's always frustrated all of us, including the team itself, is just the really careless turnovers. And against a team that plays at the pace that the Mavericks like to play at, those turnovers can really punish you. Mm-hmm. And I thought yesterday they did a really good job minimizing the turnovers. And I'm looking at the stat sheet.
Just 13 turnovers.
Yeah, and almost 30 assists. Like, I'm telling you, you know, I keep saying it, 2.5 to 3 to 1. That's kind of the ratio you're looking for from elite point guards that handle the ball. As a team to do that, That tells me you're sharing the ball well.
Well, Steve Kerr mentioned this, and he was so right about it. They don't have the margin for error like they used to 5 to 6 years ago. They had all the firepower. They could just bomb threes left and right and go on a 21-2 run and blow you out of the water in the third quarter. It's not the same team. So he's begging and he's pleading with Draymond Green and Stephen Curry to take better care of the basketball. Now, Steph Curry had 4 turnovers, but you'll live with it. You'll live with it. Draymond Green had 0 turnovers yesterday. 0 turnovers. So if you get Draymond Green, who's averaging under 2 turnovers this season, and he's playing at an elite level, saying, hey, don't forget about Dre. We won't forget about Dre. When you're producing stat lines of 11.7 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals, 2 block shots, and 0 turnovers. And on the flip side, the Dallas Mavericks are number 1 in the league in terms of turnovers, averaging 13 a game because they play at a slower pace. Well, last night, the Warriors sped them up with timely double teams, timely traps, scrapping, getting loose balls, getting deflections within the half court. The Dallas Mavericks last night, again, they entered last night averaging 13 turnovers a game. Last night, 18 turnovers. And you get 10 turnovers combined by Luka and Kyrie Irving. So the Warriors did a good job on their star players. Again, Luka and Kyrie, 5 turnovers each, 18 total for the Dallas Mavericks, who averaged 13 a game.
So your point about the timing up of the double teams is a really good one because, like, you're not going to guard these guys straight up because they're so dynamic. And Luka's going to foul hunt, and he's just he's going to get his. And good luck anyone guarding Kyrie individually. But when you send over a double team, you're now in scramble mode. And then you're opening up the paint for those lobs because they have big lobs. And you're opening up the arc for Klay Thompson, right? So this is why the way they're built is a very tricky defensive matchup for so many teams. And I thought they were excellent with it. The Melton help out on Steph late in the game where Steph gets that steal. That is just high IQ basketball. It's not how you do it. It's when you do it and where on the floor you do it and when in the shot clock you do it. And I think that they've done a really good job defensively throwing the kitchen sink at teams.
No, they have.
From possession to possession, changing it up.
No, they have. Let's go to Jason and Concord. Jason, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, guys, and thank you for taking my call. Last night, we saw two brothers fighting, you know what I mean? That's what Draymond said last night. We all know when brothers play, they want to beat the hell out of each other, whether it's in the boxing ring, basketball court, whatever that might be. I get it. They both you know, scored their highest of the season. They got everything out of each other. I get all that. But my question here is, what happened leading to the game, all this preparation? And, you know, even Clay, he mentioned that it was just a regular game. There was nothing regular about that game. What happened leading to the game? I knew they had texted each other, and we knew before that they were supposed to be speaking to the crowd, and none of that ended up happening. Is Clay a little bit more bitter? Is he not happy with his brother regarding, you know, the situation that happens and him end up leaving? And we know he's not happy with the organization, but is he saying to himself, you know what? Curry's everything in his team. He built that arena. If he wanted me to be there that bad, I'll still be there. Is there more to that?
No. Pardon me, Jason. Clay told Steph in the offseason not to vouch for him to the front office. Said, I don't want you to do that for me. You don't have to do that for me. Steph did it anyway because he loves Clay Thompson. And that's his Splash brother. And they were together first. Before Draymond, before Fezzi, before Iguodala, before Livingston, before everybody. It was Steph and Clay. And Clay asked Steph not to vouch for him in the offseason. As it pertains to last night before the game, the night before, Clay texted Steph and said, I don't need you to get on a microphone. He caught wind of it and said, I don't need you to do that. Clay wanted to downplay it as much as possible. He's a shy guy at heart. Naturally, he's a shy guy. Now, we've been able to see his personality evolve over the last decade, and that's what made Clay so lovable. We're like, wow, this guy's cool. I'd hang out with this guy randomly. You know, he's one of the few guys you see NBA playing. Like, I hang out with Clay all day long. He looks like he has fun. And so Clay didn't want all the whistles and bells and everything like that. He didn't want all that. He just wanted to come back because he comes to, I just want to play basketball. Now, he had to know the tribute was coming, and he felt it, and he was emotional, and he appreciated it. But that was that. He's trying to win games with the Dallas Mavericks. And we talk about Steph Curry's will to win and that killer instinct. Well, we heard from Zaza yesterday. We heard from Fezzi. We heard from Durrell. Klay Thompson's a killer, too. And so he didn't want all that stuff. And I'd probably feel like that as well. I'm probably more Klay Thompson in that sense where if I went back somewhere, I don't want all the fanfare. I don't want all the bells and whistles. I don't want all the kumbaya and congratulations. No, I just want to do my job. And that's where Clay was at last night, Jason and Concord. So he told Steph the night before, nah, don't speak for me. If Clay could have pulled the plug on the Captain Clay hats, he would have done that. That's who Clay Thompson is. So, he didn't want all the fanfare. He just didn't want it. Well, I don't really blame him. Are you anybody mad about that or feel some type of way about that?
No, I don't. Look, people are going to find things to get angry at, but I would say this, like, had you not gone over the top, that might be viewed as a slight too, you know? And so, like, I feel like you're in a no-win situation. If that's the algorithm of, like, hey, I don't want all these things, you got to kill someone with kindness. That's what you do.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.